Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Beyond the Matrix. I'm Patricia Corey. We are back, and it's great to be back with you. As I always promise you, soaring out there somewhere beyond the confines of conventional thinking in the free space zone, the free mind. That's what we're after, and that's what we're going to be looking for from my very interesting guest tonight. Her name is Heidi Hollis. I haven't read her book yet, so we're going to kind of freewheel it here because this is a woman who's doing all kinds of really interesting things, and it was my good fortune to have her contact me to come on the show. So we're going to see what Heidi has to say about the power of prayer, manifesting, what kind of English is that? Manifesting miracles, alien contact, which of course is one of my favorite subjects, and we're just going to go all around the place tonight with Heidi. Hiya, Heidi. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Fine. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Sorry about calling you Holly Heidi. Your name is kind of a tongue twister.
It is. It happens all the time. I answer to anything that sounds close.
Great. Well, Heidi, I invited you on, as you would, you know, because I got your request to come on and talk about your new book, Power of Prayer. But when
your
I looked
prayer.
At your site, I saw you've got just so many exciting things going on. So I'm sure we're going to hit familiar notes throughout this hour that we're together. And I'd like to just ask you, since I don't really know that much about you, if you could just give us an overview of your background and, you know, what you're up to with spirit and just as much as you can tell us about yourself before we get started.
Okay. Well, I have covered a lot of different topics in the past. Like you mentioned, from aliens to alien contact to shadow people, having written the first book on shadow people. Jesus Is No Joke was my last book, which was based on holy encounters with Jesus. And my newest book is called Picture Prayers, which is my main focus and why I thought it would be neat to talk to you, because it is a different manner of prayer that I'm aiming to put out there that, you know, as long as prayer happens more, I think that's my biggest goal and focus right now. So, I've spoken across the country to different conventions and conferences, from different types of gatherings, and I've been on a lot of different shows, and I just enjoy really bringing to light, you know, a different perspective on various topics, and the prayer one is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm really excited about telling people about the topic. It's funny, would you believe, I mean, in contacting you, this is the first interview that I'm doing in regard to this book. My book releases tomorrow officially, so this is awesome.
Cool. Okay, so we'll start by saying, you know, best of luck with this book, and it comes out tomorrow. So the website to find out more about the book itself is, of course, www.pictureprayersattached.com. So you don't want to go there now or you'll miss what we're talking about with Heidi, but later on we'll repeat this for you again. You can find out more about her new book. But before we go on to your new book, Heidi, so we have a little understanding of your background, tell me about this other book, Shadow People. That sounds weird.
That book was called The Secret War, and that was based on different types of alien contact. I'm a little weary of blending the topics when I talk on more spiritual aspects, although it is kind of covered in, you know, when it comes to the alien topic as well. But it's like my utmost goal, because I know some people get really turned off when you try to blend it. And but yeah, that was a project that I was working on, and it did unexpectedly. I was the first to write a book on shadow people. I just knew them by that name and had experienced seeing these dark things and wrote about it in a book. And lo and behold, people all over the world have been experiencing them as well. And, you know, it's been really interesting to hear the stories that have been coming ever since that. But
well, I'm not going to let you get away from this, even though we will spend most of the time talking about the prayer book. I want to say, first of all, that a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about the dark side. And, you know, I really want to always remind people that we've been on the dark and we've been on the light, and talking about darkness is, I don't want to say focusing on it, but certainly understanding it so that we can do more, like prayer, to help bring light into those dark corners.
Oh, I'm never hesitant to talk about it. I'm always willing to come on again to talk about the shadow people. But no, I agree with you that it's true. You need to shine a light on the darker things so you can, you know, bring strength to it. So you don't have fear about it. So yeah, I mean, definitely. I'm in.
And the truth is that we've got so much on our plate right now, right here in 3D, that needs light shown into it. That we do want to talk about your approach. I've asked you to be very unreligious about the process of talking about prayer, because my program is about no confines, and so looking beyond religion to that personal spiritual experience is what I'm interested in bringing to people in this show.
Definitely. I think that's a great idea. I think too many people focus on our differences than what we have in common. So.
Yeah, well, the truth is that all these wars of religion are in themselves very dark. Everyone looking for the one way, the only way, the right way, and instead of the fraternity and the sorority of being spiritual beings on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I like to emphasize that with you, so that we are on the same page and we can help people talk about that higher purpose of prayer, which is true connection to Source.
Oh, yeah.
Some people just go through the ritual sometimes with prayer. Don't you agree?
Oh, gosh, yes. I think the all too often, you know, we look at our religious leaders as being the authority figure to know how to do things. And, you know, as I was growing up, I was like, you know, gosh, this pastor, he's so good. He knows how to pray about everything and everyone. And I just felt like I was falling short. You know, gosh, I don't think I'll ever make it to heaven, or, you know, whatever people consider heaven, because I felt like, you know, there's no way I could pray that good, you know? So, I searched within myself, and I was looking for another way, another manner, but what took place was nothing that I could have ever come up with. It was, what I call a holy intervention, if anything, in having an angelic-like encounter that taught me a different way of prayer.
So I think one thing is important to consider is that hopefully we're going to move beyond this judgmental, this human nature that we're always facing some kind of a judgmental spiritual hierarchy that's either going to cast us into the shadows or open the gates and let us into heaven, mm-hmm. and that this is a time for humankind to realize that you're making the grade of your own. You are the judge on your own, and every step you take, you are the final word. Do you resonate with that?
You know, because I do have more of a religious background, I guess I have a different opinion in regard to that. But you know what? I honestly do not knock people for what they believe to be true, because, again, like what we were saying, I think too many wars have been fought over that, you know? So... you know, I believe that we're in control of our own destiny. I think some things are destined to happen. When they will happen, you know, I think is up to us. But I think there's a lot more playing room than people, actually believe it exists. I really do. I think that we get a lot more chances to get it right than we realize. And we're too hard on ourselves. We really are.
Yeah, what I meant by what I said was that really it's time for people to understand that there's no set pattern of what's right and wrong. And if you do all these things, you go to heaven. If you all do all these other things, you burn in hell. And I think that it's important that we start to move away from these very constructed categories of human behavior and start really, as I think the human race is starting to do, really looking at spirituality from a much broader sense of purpose of life and purpose or experience of the afterlife.
Yeah, I think that, again, that we are too tough on ourselves, and the rules and regulations, that we place on ourselves. I do agree sometimes our views can be limiting. I think it varies person to person, though, how seriously they take it, though, too. So.
All right, well, so let's find out about the book. Now, basically, what happened? You said you had an angelic encounter. So can you give us a little idea of what you mean by this and how this mm-hmm. book was birthed?
Yeah, well, I guess to start from the beginning, it was something that happened in April of 2000. I was attending a conference, and I was there with friends, and you know, when you have the good positive energy going about you, you know, it's hard to get any rest. And one of my friends that came down there with me, I mean, we're just like running ourselves ragged, finally decided to come back to the hotel room and flop on our separate beds from each other and, you know, to try to take a power nap or something. And I literally just put my head down on the pillow when I found myself in another sense, in some kind of a whitish, bluish mist. And it was a little puzzling because I'm like, I just put my head down. Where am I? You know, kind of looking around. And as the mist cleared, I saw people come into view. And they were, like, some people were kneeling. Some had their hands folded. Some had their heads down. There were some were in groups. And it dawned on me, I was seeing people in prayer, and some of the people were mumbling words quietly, and others were saying them, you know, the words of their prayers in their heads, and I could get a kind of a sense of what their intentions were, but I couldn't outright hear their words. I mean, the prayers weren't intended for me to hear, so, and it was strange, but it was like I saw like their words leave their lips and like kind of danced out in front of me like a form of energy, and the energy started forming images, and the people that were in prayer that I saw, they started to fade away, and as the images formed, it was strange. There are like certain parts that were missing in the images, and some of them lacked color or luster or you know, and it was bizarre to me. I'm like, gosh, these just didn't seem complete. And I started thinking to myself, you know, why am I here again, you know? But that puzzlement soon left me as I kind of felt the urge to try to make sense of the images and the meaning of what I was seeing. And
but now you were just lying on the bed, like, meditating or contemplating, and this all started to occur.
No, I went to go, you know, take a nap to sleep, and all of a sudden, boom, I found myself in this other place, and, you know, and I'm seeing these people in prayer, and what was happening, their energy coming forward from them, forming these images in front of me, but they were incomplete.
Okay, but let me interject, just to play the, I hate to say the devil's advocate, because it's a play on words, but just to play the devil's advocate, I'm asking you, do you think that you had just fallen into a delta state where you were just setting off to sleep, or was this a conscious, awake state when this started to happen?
I felt pretty aware and awake. I mean, there was no, you know, like, oh, I'm sleeping for a little bit. I had just laid down, and it was just so quick. It felt like I was transported, like, boom, I'm someplace else. So it was uh-huh. rather abrupt. But I guess to finish what was taking place, though, eventually I was able to get the meaning of the images that came from these people, like what their intentions were in their prayers. And it was strange to me, though, because I was like puzzled why it was so difficult to get, you know, what they meant. And I wondered again, you know, why the heck am I here? And then all of a sudden, like I call it like a life movie. I saw somebody's life being played out and all these visuals, and it was much like watching a movie. It was like, you know, grass, homes, cars, bills, love, pain. All these things were just kind of going, you know, flowing in this life movie. And while it was playing, images were like how you do on a computer, like copied and pasted to the left of my view. And, you know, as the life movie continued to play, and out of the spots where the images were taken from the life movie, like the feelings started to pour from it, like love and...
Hold on. You're just fading out here. I heard you as far as like movie, and then I didn't hear your words.
Oh, life movie. Like someone's life was playing out in a movie is what it looked like. Yeah. So it was just, you know, like somebody's daily events, you know, games, you know.
Well, was it your life movie?
No, it wasn't. It was someone else's, and then it was everyone else's, it seemed. It seemed to be so much. And it was no one that I could particularly point out. It was just so much in one, and I was still kind of, you know, baffled a little bit about what was going on. I'm like, okay, somebody's life. And then images were being taken right out of their life and pasted to the left of me. And then I saw this energy, this love and pain or whatever, anxiousness poured out of those spots where the images were taken. And that was put to my right, like the energy of the love and the anxiousness, whatever it was, went to my right, and the images were to my left. And the life movie, like, started to fade away, and I tell people what happened next. It just reminded me of, like, putting glue on the back of a photograph or something, and it was like the feelings to my right sucked right into the images to my left. And it became like this beautiful ball of light, and it like spun for a little bit in front of me and shot straight up to God, like, you know, to whom it was intended. And, you know, and I was like, wow, that was beautiful, you know, but still, again, what's going on here? And it was like, it was a lesson without words when suddenly after these balls of light left, it turned into words. I should say it more. It was like intention floated my way, saying, you know, take what you see in your life, envision it, and put your feelings of concern to what you see. So I was like, and then I felt like encouraged to practice this right then and there. And I'm like, you know, and I could feel this angelic presence because I've been in a similar presence before, a very positive type of feeling. And although I didn't see anything, any entity there. And then I thought to myself, okay, so I'm being encouraged to practice this. So one of my concerns is that my parents are healthy and happy for a long time. So I'm like, okay, I thought of my parents, you know, my current concern of them being healthy and happy, and took kind of a snapshot of my parents in my mind. And I put my intentions to my images and kind of sent it off to God. And I've had my eyes closed when I did this, and I opened up my eyes just in time to see my picture prayer kind of form into this ball of light and spun in the air and went straight to God. And it was interesting because before it was just intentions of whatever presence had taken me there, told me to take what you see in your life and put your feelings of concern to it. But this time I heard direct words, and they said, words fall short of what is meant. Prayer can be done this quickly. This is how we communicate. And it was just so, you know, it was so purposeful and so, I don't know, so much intention. And I was like, you know, okay, you know, I will, type of thing. And boom, you know, I kind of wake up in my bed. And what seemed like it seemed like it was rather brief. And I turned to my friend and I'm like, oh my God, you know, this angelic presence just taught me a different way to pray. And I explained it to him, and he's like, wow, well, that's kind of cool. I'm like, yeah, that is. It's like, I wonder why no one's ever thought of that. You know, it's like, you know, it's true. And,
well, so what is the basic principle? I mean, for you to have written a book about this, there must be some very clear or something specific that you're doing that is different than regular prayer. Can you give us a clearer idea of what you mean by this picture praying?
Yeah. you know, it's interesting because, you know, again, drawing from my own experience and from people that I know that were also raised with some kind of a religious background or upbringing, you know, prayer was so, you know, strict. You had to be on your hands and knees. You had to have your hands folded. You had to, you know, say these certain things, only for me to find out that, you know, you can be walking down the street and see a beautiful flower, and, you know, as you're looking at it, the image is right there. Your feelings are fresh and new right there. And you can send your thoughts to God about what a beautiful thing you created. It doesn't have to be something you wait for in the middle of the night to, you know, before you go to bed, you know, and kneel at your bedside. It doesn't have to be something you take time out for, because it truly takes no time at all. You can be in the midst of anything. I tell people, you know, when you're out with your friends and you know that something is wrong or going on with them, and, you know, listen to their concerns, you've got them right there. Send that brief little thought to God, you know, the image and what you feel, you know, to God, or what you know, whatever your faith or belief is, you know, just send it to the source of all things. And, you know, I think that the more that we pray, the better off we are, and as a whole. I think that it not only helps our souls evolve, I think it helps our neighbor's souls. It encourages them. I recently, I had a friend that was in a coma from a terrible car accident about 4 years ago, and I spoke to her recently, and she said, you know, while I was in a coma, I was floating outside my body, and while I was floating outside my body, I saw these little pins of light, and they would kind of shoot at me, and you know, and they would fill me up with so much joy and love that, and I knew they were prayers, and I got every single one of them, and they were all encouraging me to stay closer to my body so I wouldn't go anywhere, you know. It's just like, and it was so nice and wonderful, you know. It was, you know, prayer does make a difference.
Well, I think it's important to also make a distinction here. Some people identify prayer as, like you said, getting on your hands and knees at night and praying to God, and usually praying for a specific thing. Whereas what you're talking about is, I think, you call it prayer, but what we're really talking about is taking time out to celebrate the wonder of existence, the wonder of spirit, the beauty
the
of that flower.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, we tend to see prayer in that time of need. Please help me. Please help her. Please improve the world. But I love the idea that we just take time out to speak to that source or God or whatever you want to call that, and say,
right,
you know, thank you for creating this day, this rose, this impeccable, beautiful creature of life.
Right, right.
And that
exactly.
is a prayer in itself.
Exactly. It really is. It becomes more of a conversation with God. You never feel alone. You have this sense of awe, and you can, you know, turn to your creator and go, you know, I've even made jokes. I'm like, okay, there goes a spider. I really don't like spiders. Why did you have to make so many ugly-looking little spiders, you know?
Yeah, know? Mine is mosquitoes. I've asked the prime creator, why did you invent mosquitoes? This is a flaw in the divine plan. What were you thinking? Did you have a bad moment or something?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, I think as long as prayer happens more often, and it doesn't, you know, like you said, oftentimes people go into prayer for selfish things. I want this new car. I want this and that. But, you know, if you go into it for the right reasons, you know, a car is an important aspect of someone's life to be able to support themselves and their family. God knows how important it is to you. You know, if you go into, you know, your prayers for the right reasons, I think that, you know, that's fine, and it helps raise your energy levels. And, you know, but it doesn't always have to be about things of want. It could be a thank you. It could be a, wow, this is neat. This is interesting.
And I also think that it's very important that at this time in our, let's face it, really shaky global situation,
mm-hmm.
it is important for people to start praying for the higher good of
all humankind.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Because,
for
you
sure.
know, for so much of our life, we've been concentrating on our own needs and our own family and whatever, but we really now is a time when we need to start working together, the light beings of this planet, which you were talking about the dark shadow, and we started off on that conversation. People who pray, people who are looking to the source, to light, that it's a time we really have to send up those prayers, those thoughts, that energy for the highest good of all concerned. Would you agree?
Oh, I definitely think it's important that we're all making the effort to do that, to put our good step forward and to take care of our neighbors. It can't be this selfish, envisionment of what we would like to have in our lives only. I love the fact that since I've been practicing picture prayers, watching something on the news, seeing something horrific, and being able to just, you know, the image is fresh, my feelings are fresh, and to send that thought to God of what I'm seeing and say, could you please help? You know, this needs help. And, you know, every little bit counts. And no, you don't have to go into prayer, you know, perfectly all the time. Yes, we go into prayer for being selfish at times, but it can't dominate, you know, what it is that you're going for. You do have to expand your horizon and include your universal neighbors, you know, your global neighbors, all of them, you know, to help make this place a better planet. And I'm a big advocate to taking the regiments out of things, taking the routine out, and looking at these, you know, supposedly odd or rare topics with a fresher perspective to say that this is important. This can be spoken of like we talk about the weather. We really can get to that point. I don't care if it's talking about aliens, shadow people, angels, God, Jesus, or whomever, you know, whatever people are interested in. I think we should have, you know, the comfortable level to be able to relate about anything. And without ridicule, without, you know, the static that is so common with these more rare topics. But again, I think one thing that I wanted to point out, though, too, is a little different. When it comes to praying in pictures, now, I know that you have also the perspective of the alien presence and knowing that they exist and what it is that they're doing and how they're very telepathic. Now, when it comes to envisioning pictures and putting your intentions to it, they're very much about that as well. And I think that the human potential is endless. I think that we will eventually be able to communicate more telepathically, and that can be seen through the synchronicities that are going on. I'm very aware of synchronicities. It blows my mind every time it happens. I'm sure you're aware of such things too.
Oh yeah, and they're getting almost ridiculous. They're so frequent and they're so precise.
Oh, so you know they are so precise. It's not called a coincidence anymore, you know? It really isn't. And people.
Well, I always tell people that coincidence means happening at the same time. That's what the word means. And so, in essence, you know, it is a coincidence by the nature of the word that things are just. But it's remarkable. I mean, this word synchronicity, I've just used about five times in the minutes before I talk to you with a number of different people, because you think something, they call you up, they just thought of the same thing, or they're contacting you about a subject that's directly related to it, or a person, or whatever. And it's nonstop now.
It's
almost too much.
It really is. I laugh several times a day because it's just hilarious to me. You know, pull open a magazine, read an odd little company's name that I've never heard of before, turn on the radio, and they're mentioning that company's name. I'm like, now what benefit was that for me to hear, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's healthy when you ask yourself, okay, this has been put into my face now four times, so obviously it's something that I'm supposed to understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that probably these synchronicities were happening before, but maybe we just weren't as sensitive to being aware of them.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Makes me wonder, but you know what? It is increasing because everyone that I talk to that's aware of such things, they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, isn't it interesting? And I really think that this is a part of our evolution as a species, you know, that we are truly more in tune, more in touch with our environment, with things around me, with people. And why on Earth, why I was shown the way to pray visually, I'm like, gosh, that's so telepathic. And if only, you know, people could capture your thought of an image or what you're feeling as it's coming by, there would be no confusion, no interpretations and misinterpretations would happen because it would be so clear and it would be so heartfelt. You would see and feel what the other person feels. And I think that these synchronicities are also kind of coinciding with that because I don't know about you, but sometimes I get that little goosebump thing going on and it's like, oh, like a light turned on. It's like, guess this is supposed to happen. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, you know? The goosebump thing I call psychic validation.
Yeah.
From the head to the toes and back up.
Right, right. It's, you know, and I think we're all starting to pay attention a little more, and I just think it's going to get more and more interesting, and I'm so anxious for what's to come.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, so am I, as we careen toward 2012 with everyone's expectations on what that's going to be. I think it's getting very interesting here on the planet Earth. So you've talked quite a lot about picture prayers, but does the book give specific... What is the structure of this book? Does it give specific guidance? Does it give stories? What is going to draw someone to your book?
Well, you know, I kind of cover, you know, the different aspects where I came from and, you know, the pressure that was put toward these moments of silence and sitting still when I was a kid and absolutely dreading it, you know. It was awful. And then I lost my mother when I was quite young, when I was 7 years old. And, you know, my father, one of the first things he said was, I guess God needed her more than we did. And I'm like, and, you know, what, you want me to pray to the man that took my mother? You know, I was really resentful. And, you know, to be made to think that you have to give thanks to this grand someone, it was so difficult. And I just kind of went through, you know, my journey and trying to understand how resentful I was. And then also coming into an acceptance because, you know, when I least expected it, God answered my prayers. And then I realized, hold on, he was answering my prayers all along. I just wasn't paying attention, and I surely didn't thank him for it. And it changed who I was. And then I realized sometimes, you know, speaking to God was my only friend, you know, that would actually listen. But it was like, gosh, but is he really listening all the time? And does he really understand what I feel? And coming to the point and understanding my, you know, I think it's a necessity to be able to connect with your creator, to be able to, you know, share your experiences. And I think the way to share experiences is not to wait to share your experience. I think, you know, very much like an anxious kid holding their parent's hand going, oh, look over there. Isn't that neat? You know? I think that we should live in the moment, enjoy it, share it with God as it happens. You know, there is no time to sit and think, oh boy, let me form these words right. I think, you know, it's easy to see how praying in pictures encompasses so much more because, I mean, just look at one of your random pictures, you know, in your photo album and try to describe it. You know, you'll miss something eventually. You'll miss the funny face somebody made off in the corner or, you know, the dust mites that are piled up over here, you know. You'll miss something. But if you're able to capture it right there, I think that it's something that is, you know, I think it's a wonderful gift and a wonderful thing to do. So how do you do that?
How do you capture this? I'm having a little hard time understanding, getting from you the nut of the book, the essence of the book. Are you giving people guidance on how to do, for them to picture?
Yes,
Give me some information here of what people are going to be getting if they read this book.
I try to guide people in understanding how to envision and to be honest about what it is you live and see, and how to come to the conclusion that, you know, we are imperfect people, but we can go to God who is perfect and still be okay with it. You don't have to feel that, you know, oh, woe is me, I'm such a lowly person asking something of such a great being to help me out in a situation. We are all worthy of help. We are all, essentially a part of God, and He would, of course, tend to us, much like we would tend to our children if they had needs, no matter how bad they were, no matter how many mistakes they make. And I try to guide people through the practice of envisioning and being honest with themselves and realizing that, you know, we will continue to always be imperfect. And if it was perfect, then it's not God's creation. It's not God's doing, because He knew what He was doing when He made us, that we'd be creating the flubs that we do, that we'd be repeating ourselves and being selfish and careless and still loving and wonderful and positive beings. I think that just kind of pouring out the honest nature of the human condition, but prayer needs to happen more often if we are to evolve spiritually, if we are to, connect to our Creator. And you know what's funny to me? It's like, well, people feel like, well, I pray sometimes, you know. And I'm like, you know, if I had a friend that I did not call, I think they would get the picture that I'm really not that concerned about them, you know, that I don't care to connect with them. And God is the same thing. You know, if you don't connect with Him, you know, how do you think that makes Him feel? And how does it make Him feel that we think, you know, 5 minutes of prayer before we go to bed at night is sufficient? You know, we're talking about the Creator, the, you know, omnipotent to the the source, you know, and you're giving 5 minutes of your day, you know, it's like, gosh, you know.
What are you suggesting, that you're giving time in prayer to honor the Creator? Or are you talking about taking time to, I'm not following you, to be honest with you, of
really? Okay. Well, no.
Where you originally headed was the power, I understood, that of manifesting in your life what you want, what you desire for your life and the world, through prayer, picturing what really you want for the world through prayer. But now it sounds like you're saying that it's sort of like almost like a duty to spend time to pray to your God. And so I need to understand, where does the book go? Are we just getting off the track here, or?
That's the beauty of prayer. It does encompass a lot of different aspects. And I don't feel it's an absolute duty. People have the right and the freedom to do what they'd like. To fall into a routine, I'm so not into that myself. I like having the freedom to pick and choose when I want to do something as I want to do something. The essence of the book is creating more positivity, as a lot of people are trying to put out there. Putting prayer forth at any time of day, that's another major thing that I think is very important, and that's what I wrote in the book. And envisioning.
And what do you have to say for the people who say, why did God let this happen? Example, a young child dies early, and people mm-hmm. say, well, you know, why would God let something like this happen? What's your input on that mindset?
You know, I always think that positivity wins overall, although we may not always fully understand why it's taken place. I mean, the dark side is not going to win this battle on this planet. And when I see tragedy, you know, say a child that's been run over by a school bus, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, what's the purpose in that? The pain the mother must feel. And then you hear of a rule that's being put out that's like the bus cannot pull from the curb until they account for the student being on the other side of the bus. Now, how many lives were saved because of that one tragic event? I think that there's always a purpose, though it may take some time to learn it. I think that there's always a purpose behind it, and I really believe that this is a big school that we're in trying to, in God truly seeing who is faithful to Him without memory, full memory of Him and being with Him on the other side. I think we come here with a clean slate to get a good look at what we would do when we think no one's looking. Because if you feel
I agree with you that, to the point that I think that it's a school for sure, and that inevitably these darkest moments that we go through, and we all go through them, we usually can't understand why we have to suffer. And it's only after we're down the road and we look back at the suffering and understand perfectly why it had to happen or how we created it, especially when we're really in our truth. We recognize how these dark moments really do serve positive ends. But boy, when you're going through it.
Yeah.
I would imagine that your book can help people that are going through these kinds of moments.
I hope so. And again, it's my main focus is to just share part of my life and how I came to terms in accepting my flaws and trying to get a better connection with God and feeling I'm falling short because of my religious upbringing and, trying to envision a better place and trying to appreciate and ask for things as the need is there, as the care, the love is in the air. I think that the connections just have to be made more often or more freely. I think that's a better word for it, more freely, because creating another regiment, I don't think that's the answer. I think just creating the connection is what's more important than knowing that you can connect when you'd like to.
I was very interested in what you said about your friend seeing these little sparks of light. Did she say that this, after she came back from the other side, did she talk about this more? Is this a phenomenon that people have passed on the other side experience?
You know, that's what I was, literally, this was just about a week and a half ago that I learned this. So I was actually planning to talk to more people about that because I thought, that was a wonderful thing to hear. I've heard of research that has been done in regard to people that have gone through similar, surgical procedures, and they put one patient's name in a large prayer circle, and that patient did much better than the one that wasn't in the prayer circle. You know, it's showing the power of prayer in more levels than we're fully able to understand. And when it came to her, I wish I had the chance to ask her more questions in regard to, did she get to hear their words? Did she just feel their words? But she felt their encouragement and their pull to her to stay close to her body so she wouldn't leave, so she wouldn't move.
That's
on.
Amazing. I really love what you said about her seeing the sparks of light, and I would be very grateful if you speak to her again. If you could let me know more about that, because that is that's something new I haven't heard before, and I love it, and I think it so speaks to the power of prayer, which is why you're on the air tonight. To people that are listening, if you've just lost someone and they're on the other side, or if they're really ill and they're getting ready to go, and your prayers can create these little sparkles of light around them that they can recognize as your love coming through. How wonderful a manifestation is that?
Yeah, I think I thought it was a great story. I'm like, wow, to actually hear that someone, was brought back because of encouragement from prayers. That's a beautiful thing. Definitely.
Yeah. Just as I'm sure if it's really someone's time to go and they're not brought back, but they're still seeing all that sparkling light paving their way, that would be just a wonderful thing to know for people who have lost their loved ones,
right,
to know that they can really help people as they're crossing over.
Oh, yes. I believe so. I truly do. But
we're talking to Heidi Hollis, and I just want to give you some more information about her before we continue our talk. Her websites, she's got a few. One is Heidi
Hollis.com. Got a new website, PictureProyers.com. We're talking about her new book, which is just coming out tomorrow, called Picture Prayers. Is that the title of the book, Picture Prayers?
Picture Prayers, yes.
And Picture
the
Prayers.
Journey to Picture Perfect Prayers, How to Pray Like the Angels.
How to Pray Like the Angels. What would you come, if you had, let's say you wanted to leave my audience with one primary thought of the power or the message in your book, what would it be?
It would be that prayer really needs to happen more often if we are to evolve, I mean, spiritually, emotionally. I think that, and again, not to be something drawn out and regimented, but to be, you know, those wonderful sparks of truth and honesty and happening at random times or no times, you know, at any times, I should say. I mean, just as long as prayer is happening more often and more honestly.
And I would like to add to that, since you brought this up in our conversation, that prayer doesn't have to be asking God for help, but boy, thanking Spirit for all that surrounds us. I was recently in a film by Patty Greer, who's a filmmaker who did a beautiful movie called 2012, The Great Awakening, and one of the lines in that movie, when she asks me about the future, and I say, yeah, okay, 2012, yes, it's coming, but what are you going to do with this day?
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate this day.
Right.
And this is, in my mind, a most exquisite form of prayer, taking time, like you said, to recognize the beauty of the flower, to celebrate even the little funky spider, all part of the incredible dance of life that creation has given us to exist within, to share, and to recognize as divine.
Yes, yes, indeed. I mean, it's all a wonderful balance that we need to create. And I've been having so much fun, and I've grown so much since I've learned to communicate in this fashion. And I don't ever, you know, people ask me, you pray, you know, do you pray every night? I'm like, wow, you know, it's like I don't even think of it as prayer. I just think of it as wonderful moments, sparks in my day that I'm just, I feel like I'm never alone. I'm just having conversations with God is what I feel like. And I know I'm not sitting in a corner talking to myself. I'm glancing at something and thanking Him and oh, you know, someone needs help, and, you know, and I move on with my day. It's just a wonderful balance. I love it.
Well, you can call it talking to God. You can call it connecting with Spirit. What matters here, and the thought that I want to leave you all with, is what we're talking about here is taking time to really understand the divinity in all things, always remembering you're not alone, keeping your mind in that higher place where you are helping create divine light all around you and all around the world. And thank you, Heidi Hollis, for your efforts to help people do just that.
Oh, thank you.
The book, again, is Picture Prayers. And you're going to send me a copy, Heidi, because I haven't read it.
Oh, yes. I'll be sure you get one.
All right. You have your publicist send me a copy, and I'll talk about it more with people when I've been able to take a look at it. And for everyone else, our time is up already, so goodbye to Heidi. And to all of you, lots of things cooking on my plate, as I call it, in Pat Corey world. I'll be telling you a lot of things are coming up. New book is coming, too. So it's called Where Pharaohs Dwell. It'll be out in November. It's guaranteed to blow your minds. So stay tuned, and don't forget to check me out on www.SyrianRevelations.net. And don't forget to write in and sign up for my newsletter. I'm going to be sending out information about the amazing journey we just did in Maya lands and everything that evolved from that, and just about everything I can think of and squeeze into a newsletter for you coming out. So stay tuned and stay in touch, and we'll be back with you on Thursday for Beyond the Matrix, daring you to keep your mind beyond the matrix, outside the box of conventional thinking. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.
And goodbye, everyone. I'll be with you next Thursday with another great guest. Bye-bye.